welcome to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. I'm hosting today, Becky Friedman, and with me in the studio is Josh. How are you, Josh?
I really wish I could say I was doing good.
And Meredith, back from last week, our one little bit of continuity. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
I think we're kind of all in that all right, maybe, but we don't really want to say that we're tired. We're disappointed. We're sometimes even feeling hopeless. Did you guys ever participate in any kind of choral singing? Any kind of glee club?
I was huge at musicals and choir and all, and everywhere.
Josh, you?
No. I mean, maybe like a little bit in middle school, but I hated the heck out of it, so.
So sometimes you get an orchestral piece or a choral piece where it calls for a large choir to hold a note for a very long time. You as an audience member might have, you know, seen this in some pieces, or Meredith, as someone who participated in music, you might have experienced this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you have 16 measures where the choir is supposed to sustain a note. There's no way that you as an individual can...
It's impossible.
...can sing for that long, no matter how air-filled your lungs are, no matter how forceful you eject that air through your vocal cords, no matter how triumphantly you intend to sing, no matter how hardworking you are at your singing, at your craft, there's no way that you as an individual can sustain that. So, Meredith, do you remember what you were instructed to do, what you as a choir were instructed to do during a moment when it was required of you to sustain a note for 10, 15, 16 measures?
People would alternate taking breaths. One person would stop and take a breath, and the rest of the choir sustains them. It sustains the sound, even though that one voice is gone, the rest of them fill in the gaps.
Right now, there are a great many of us that are active in all sorts of movements and for all sorts of causes. We on Ask an Atheist have dedicated at least some percent of our energies to promoting secularism, to making atheism visible and viable, to saying separation of church and state upholds and sustains all beliefs and religions. It protects our pluralistic society. But we're not just secular activists or atheists. We, as individuals and as teams, dedicate ourselves to lots of different things. And at a time like this, there's a lot of things to dedicate yourself to. Josh, you came back from Camp Quest last week. Sam talked about that last week also. And, you know, during camp, you weren't going 100% of the time. I'm sure it was tiring. I'm sure you worked hard, but you had some scheduled breaks in there, didn't you?
Right, yeah. And there's no way you would crash if you actually tried maintaining the entire schedule without breaks. I mean, this is from 7 to 10, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. nonstop.
And occasionally you might choose a day where you decide to go to bed early with the campers. You snuggle into your cabin and, you know, you're missing out on a few things maybe around the campfire that grown-ups are talking about, but you do that to sustain yourself, am I right?
No, actually, for me, that was actually my reprieve, so I would, unless it was like mandatory that we stayed back, then no, I would definitely try and get away for that little respite.
So that actually ended up being a respite for you.
Correct.
Being out there. And as we, as activists, and as people that are dedicating huge, huge amounts of energies to lots of different things, it's important to remember to take your respite, take your break, take your breath, because other people will sustain you and sustain your work. Right now, we're sitting at the studio of Ask an Atheist in Tacoma, and there's a demonstration going on right now with about 1,000 people, maybe. It's at Northwest Detention Center, not 2 miles from us. Today, I decided to sit back and record the show and take my breath and take my respite while others are sustaining the note. While others are sustaining the notes of protest, of resistance, of humanistic ideals, which transcends religion or non-religion. When you say that individuals who are incarcerated should not be individuals that have had dignity taken away and their rights taken away and their families and their children taken away, that should not be. But I can't sustain that note by going full blast, no matter how much I fill my lungs beforehand. I can't sustain that note all week without taking a break and without taking a rest, no matter how much I psych myself up for something that I really enjoy. And as we continue moving forward with any kinds of things that you're dedicated to, it's really important to hold on to that image, whatever it is, whether it's singing in a choir, whether it's working full blast at a camp with kids, maybe it's parenting. And you say, you know what, sometimes I just got to trade off with my co-parent or my spouse, or sometimes I got to drop the kids off at grandpa and grandma's. Sometimes I got to call in a babysitter, or thank goodness that the kiddo has started kindergarten, that they finally get to go to school. And I think that that's something really important to hold on to, regardless of whether you're religious, an atheist, or anything, because we're all human. And in order to sustain each other, we got to be able to take our breaks. We'll talk a little bit more about some of our involvement in the protest and resistance to some of the immigration policies. But I want to talk a little bit about something that, Meredith, you're super familiar with, because you actually covered this last week.
Yeah, we did talk about this last week.
In last week's show, you're a little thread of continuity here. And this is a follow-up to a billboard fracas. So members of the Metroplex Atheists in the Dallas, Texas area protested Sunday services last week at the First Baptist Church of Dallas. Pastor Robert Jeffress, an advisor to Donald Trump, hosted Freedom Sunday last week at his megachurch, after announcing the event with a provocative billboard that read, "America is a Christian Nation." The protesters held signs with messages that included, "The Constitution is a secular document," and, "We the people, not we the Christians." The church event boasted indoor fireworks, patriotic songs, a salute to military members, American flags distributed to each congregant, and red, white, and blue balloons throughout the building.
Yeah, so we did cover this last week. We talked about this billboard up in Texas, and how a bunch of community members and government officials and people actually spoke out and to take it down because they didn't agree that this billboard that says America is a Christian nation should be up on the side of the road. They didn't agree with the base principle. At that time, I didn't know it was trying to promote this Freedom Sunday.
Freedom Sunday. Now, Josh,
Sunday.
Yes, freedom.
Come on down.
Freedom.
To the Texas mega church for all your fireworks and
fireworks inside. That sounds a little dangerous, but I mean, mega churches, they're practically an indoor arena. Right. So, I mean, the only thing that maybe could have made this a little bit more American might be some monster trucks, maybe a wrestling match, horses. I don't know exactly. I don't know if that's allowed on Sundays. Now, Josh, you're a veteran. Have you ever encountered this sort of honoring our armed forces at churches? Have you ever been asked to like step forward and be like, "Oh, come get honored at our church for your service, because since you're a veteran, you must be all Christian and all American"?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't ever step inside of a church when I was in the military, but we always had the chapels. And honestly, they were set up in a way that they were actually kind of a little respite also. But I mean, a lot of health and welfare, morale and welfare would actually go through the chaplain. So that was actually available for everybody. So as far as being asked to pray and all that, a lot of times it would be just at a meeting of NCOs or something like that. Nothing like this. Nothing where they have you go into church and
it's now. Can you appear in your uniform? I imagine you can appear in uniform at your church. Are there
yes?
There's different stipulations though for when you can or should wear the uniform and like represent the armed services. Are there not?
Basically, like if you can't wear your uniform if you're going to do an interview, unless you get prior approval, so you can't use your uniform to espouse a kind of political view.
But a religious view, it seems like it's just fine, at least. Or, you know, here's the thing. You got fireworks going on indoors. Are you allowed to wear your hat or not when there's fireworks going on?
Yeah, no, you're not supposed to wear your hat indoors. Your cover is not supposed to be worn indoors unless specially specified by your command.
Well, it seems like in this group, Pastor Robert Jeffress seems to have been the command at this place. And we can't forget that Jeffress was actually this evangelical preacher who was heavily involved in the new dedication of the Jerusalem-based embassy in Israel.
Yeah, he's friendly with Trump, to put it nicely.
And the thing about him that actually he got a lot of blowback for is he is heavily evangelical Christian. And in a place where you say we're rededicating this for ostensibly the benefit of the Jewish people in Israel to uphold Jerusalem as the true capital, you have an evangelical leader that would just as readily throw Jewish worshippers under the bus if it meant the return of his king and his Messiah. So it's all this very weird, chilling thing. And when you see this America is a Christian Nation billboard, a sermon that is centered around how America is the most Christian nation and is the way to bring Christianity and Christ back to, you know, back to earth. And it's at the same time listed as Freedom Sunday. Who is free to do any gosh darn thing in this sort of circumstance? When you're melding and mixing this extreme religiosity with this with the purview, like under the purview of patriotism,
creepy patriotism,
it gives me shivers.
Yeah,
it's Orwellian all the way down. It's freedom as they define freedom, so that way they can specify what you basically, you're not allowed to do what you want to do unless you agree with them 100%.
Oh, just like you're free to worship any god as long as it's their god.
Exactly.
You're free to. Yeah.
And it has to be exactly their God and the way they, because Jeffress himself actually specified that all Jews are going to hell. And this is the guy that opened up a ceremony for the Jerusalem embassy. I mean, I don't understand how that flew at all.
Well,
because we're living in the darkest timeline.
This is the worst timeline. It barely gets worse than this.
Well, there is a timeline that we are living in which, Abraham Lincoln is being favorably compared to Donald Trump. And it's a little strange. You know, it doesn't quite, this next story doesn't quite reflect the same level as we think that all Jews will go to hell. But, well, let me just read this one. Right-wing commentator Dinesh D'Souza, who received a presidential pardon last month for his federal conviction of violating campaign contribution laws, is claiming that his retweets of racist hashtags "burn the Jews" and "bring back slavery" were merely an accident. D'Souza claims that he was simply trying to share the trailer for his upcoming film Death of a Nation, which compares Donald Trump to Abraham Lincoln and asserts that the Democrats are really the party of racism. D'Souza warned his followers to watch for sleazy, unscrupulous leftists trying to make a story out of an accidental tweet. Ooh, pick me, who's a sleazy, unscrupulous leftist?
Becky, what do you have to say?
Are you a sleazy, unscrupulous leftist, Meredith?
Yeah.
Josh, are you a sleazy, unscrupulous leftist?
Absolutely.
So, this is bonkers. This is a guy who is making a film called Death of a Nation, which, of course, echoes tremendously.
Birth of a Nation.
Yeah. Upheld as one of the worst celebrations of racism. And really, the trailer, the movie poster, has sort of this this mishmash of a portrait that's fading from Lincoln into Trump. And since America holds Lincoln as, you know, oh, he abolished slavery and that's really good and amazing, and he is not racist because he made a bunch of amendments and he unified the country, Trump is also that.
How?
So, Dinesh D'Souza.
No, people don't actually believe that, right?
Someone does.
Yeah, someone does.
And Dinesh D'Souza apparently wants people to believe it because he made this film, he made this trailer, he wants the trailer to get shared widely via social media, so he's taken to retweeting anytime anyone else has tweeted the trailer. Without looking and noticing that someone at the end of your trailer link put
hashtag burn the Jews?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not saying it was Jeffress or anything, but, you know, there's a fine line between really espousing your beliefs that you think that in order for the Messiah to come back, all the Jews will burn in hell, and literally saying we should burn Jews. And someone who, as someone who grew up in a pluralistic Jewish household, this is frightening. This is the kind of thing that should scare not just someone who grew up Jewish, not just someone who is against racism or Christians who say that all the Jews are going to burn in hell. This should scare anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Dinesh, word of advice. If racists and anti-Semites are retweeting your stuff positively, you might want to reconsider your target audiences and your actual material.
Indeed.
Here's the scary thing. I don't know that he wants to reconsider that.
He does not, because he's a shill. He's making lots of money off of this. He's making it's garbage propaganda. All if you actually watch these videos, they're terrible quality. They're just all scare tactics. But he makes so much money off of it. This is his bread and butter.
Is it more money that he can then illegally contribute to campaigns to get his own, racist gerrymandered folks elected? I'm just putting it out there, maybe.
I don't know. How many more mistresses does he have?
How many more times can Trump pardon him after this?
I don't know. Can he get infinite pardons?
Infinite pardons.
Infinite pardons?
Federal crimes.
Is it double jeopardy if you've been convicted once, pardoned, and then you get retried for the same crime but committed at a different time?
Like, no, that's not double jeopardy.
That's just double idiocy.
Yeah.
So there's also he had the hashtag burn the Jews, but then another he said, oh, I didn't even see that, and I retweeted it. Stop making a big deal about that. But then he again retweeted something else that said bring back slavery. it's absurd.
So bad.
Either you're really that infacile with social media shares.
I don't think so.
Or
he can't be that dumb.
He can be. He is. I mean, he's set himself up to be this persona specifically because it's been beneficial to him. It's the same as Alex Jones. It's beneficial to them, so it doesn't matter if it's if they have to think it through.
Now, what I really want to hope for is that if at any point I, through an oversight, share something via social media, or if Ask an Atheist shares something via social media, and it's brought to our attention that maybe the source of it was either false or had an unscrupulous bent to it, or had something that was really distasteful or disfavorable, that we wouldn't say, watch for all of those anti-atheist people to make a big deal out of this. We would say, wow, you know what? You're right. That was an oversight. I take full responsibility. I'm sorry. I might even still say, please go see my movie or please listen to my show. But you don't blame your retweeting of overt racism on a bunch of leftists for discovering you. And it's not even leftists. These are people who just read, not even read between the lines.
Just read
the lines.
Read between the hashtags.
Sadly, it's working, so.
It is. Now, I did say that I come from a Jewish background, and I have a story that is a little bit, hilarious to me, and I'd like to share this with you, because while I do denounce any kind of anti-Semitism, I do not say, let's pull back from criticizing places where religion, especially even Jewish religion, gets crazy and weird and conflicts with people's individual rights. We talked about this maybe a year or two ago, and it's come back to bite us in the plane, in the tail, in the tailwind. I don't know. I kind of fell flat on that little pun there. Not a journalist, I guess. But an El Al Airlines flight from New York to Tel Aviv was delayed for more than an hour because ultra-Orthodox Jewish men refused to take their assigned seats near women. One man had reportedly boarded the plane with his eyes shut tight, escorted by a fellow religious traveler, and kept his eyes closed throughout the duration of the flight. Last year, an Israeli court issued a ruling stating that the airline cannot ask passengers to move based on gender, stemming from a 2015 incident in which an 85-year-old Holocaust survivor was made to switch seats after boarding to accommodate a religious male passenger. After last week's incident, El Al's CEO stated that in the future, any passenger who refuses to sit next to another passenger will be immediately removed from the flight.
If anybody else, for any other reason, delays...
Wait. Josh, shut your eyes.
Oh, sorry.
Will be too overcome by our beauty
that is true.
To concentrate on your commentary.
Sorry, I forgot. My eyes are shut.
And then let us know how easy it is to keep your eyes closed all this time. I'm really confused. Why didn't you just wear a bandana around his eyes or something?
The funniest one is when you have ultra-Orthodox individuals who, men, who will actually wear glasses that are like Coke bottle glasses to blur your vision. So you see general shapes so you don't knock into anyone, but you do not actually resolve their features so that you cannot be led astray by the beauty of a random person on a street.
Wow,
that's the funniest one.
That's strict.
I will one up that funny one and say that I think wearing a body bag in a flight, because you might fly over a cemetery in transit, is a little bit more extreme.
Oh, was it? So there is a case of an ultra-Orthodox Jewish man who did wrap himself in a plastic bag. Was that because he was flying over a cemetery? I thought it was so that he could avoid any physical contact with a woman should they, by accident, bump into them. You know, I mean, I was just on a plane going down, up and down those really teeny little aisles with the cart. Occasionally, you know, the a flight attendant who might be female might brush against you if you have an aisle seat, right?
Yeah. The case I'm talking about specifically, it was specified that it flying over cemeteries is a possibility, so he had to be protected to stay kosher.
Yeah, actually, that is a thing. If you are a descendant of the Kohanim or the Levites, those are from the priestly class of pre-diasporic times, you do not enter a cemetery. You don't come into contact with dead bodies. You have other people who are functionaries to help with those kinds of things. And so, like, if you're, we had my grandfather die, and the rabbi is a descendant of Cohen, so Cohen or Cain or Kahan, things like that, and he conducted the service, but he did not go to the cemetery to give the blessing as the coffin was being lowered, because he cannot enter the actual cemetery, because, woo, magic, it will make you ritually dirty.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just really glad that during my flight, since I was at a conference most recently in one corner, the opposite corner of the earth, and in one corner of the obtuse triangle, I was at a professional conference in Florida. I luckily did not come into contact with any ultra-Orthodox religious men, because they would have been overcome by my sheer stunning beauty. This is Ask an Atheist. We'll be back in a minute.
Hello, we're here to promote Squid Ink Nail Polish. The reason why you should buy Squid Nail Polish is because it makes your nails grow faster. But not all the colors are the same. Some are black and navy blue.
Some nail polish that doesn't have squid ink in it aren't as vibrant as the Squid Ink Nail Polish. Thank you for taking the time to listen to us. We are happy and hope you try Squid Ink Nail Polish. Thank you.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. It's still me, Becky, with Meredith and Josh in the studio. And man, this is a week for the best words and the worst words. Really, you know, we've been calling it the best words whenever we talk about Donald Trump and where it might intersect in general with our political interests or with separation of church and state, with religiosity, with maybe Trump mentioning atheists somewhere. But really, this week it's come to a head in terms of how the Trump administration is bastardizing, is ripping apart, is tearing, is spitting on anything approaching humanistic ideals. Because many atheists are not just people who don't believe in God. Many atheists also identify as humanists. And humanists believe in the dignity and the inherent right and value of individuals, of freedom of thought, of freedom of movement, things like that. And this week has been very active in terms of bringing to light and bringing to attention people that have been affected by our immigration policies. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on right here under our nose in Tacoma. We've touched on it a little bit. I think 2 weeks ago, Sam talked about the Northwest Detention Center. It's 2 miles from here, sitting in the Port of Tacoma in the Tide Flats. And not many people might know about it. Or maybe in your own community, if you're listening to us online, Maybe you don't know that, or didn't know until this week, that there's similar facilities in your backyard or in your state. So what are the kinds of things that people are doing? What are the kinds of things that humanists are doing? Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about first was something that was started in Tacoma kind of in the last week or so, and that is the Goodnight Noise Rallies. Meredith, can you tell us a little bit about the noise rallies?
Yeah, the noise rallies are being held down at the Northwest Attention Center every night at 9 p.m. They last for half an hour, so from 9 p.m. till 9:30. The idea behind it is to let everybody that's inside know that we are there and we love them. People bring noisemakers, pots, pans, anything you can bang on, your voice, musical instruments, just to make a lot of noise for the people who are incarcerated in this detention center unfairly, to let them know that we're here, we're fighting, we still care, and we will continue to fight these abhorrent policies that have kept them in this place.
You know, a lot of people will say, like, well, I mean, there's law and order and there's, you know, rule of order and things like that. Are atheists and humanists, do you just think that everything should be anarchy? You know, and to that I say, okay, there's some anarchists that are involved. There's some socialists, there's some communists, there's religious groups, there's non-religious groups, there's individuals, there's teams of people. But here's the thing. People that are generally incarcerated in immigration facilities or in, at this point now, federal jails for immigration.
CTAC.
Federal jails for immigration, you know, proceedings. They're not there because of a crime that they've committed. They're there being held during immigration proceedings, waiting for immigration hearings. And being in an immigration court, that's not a criminal court. They're not allowed to have bail. There's no right to bail. There's no right to legal representation either. So you can say, well, crossing the border is a crime. Crossing the border improperly is a misdemeanor. It's a misdemeanor crime. And we don't pull everyone who has committed a misdemeanor away from their family and then incarcerate them indefinitely.
Without legal representation, without due process, without bail.
There is process, and that process can take a long, long time because immigration courts are backed up. And when, you know, you have sort of this system that has been going on far longer than, you know, Trump's been in office, granted. But when you have a system that is being filled to the brim because Jeff Sessions said we're going to have zero tolerance towards anyone crossing the border illegally, and then even at that point, taking people that are coming to the border legally and asking for asylum, which is not illegal, is not a misdemeanor, and separating them from their families and from the rest of the people traveling in their party and saying, we're going to hold you in different facilities indefinitely because immigration courts take a long time. There's something fundamentally inhumane about it from my humanist perspective.
Yeah, especially now since there's too many cases being tried. There's not enough immigration lawyers are not enough courts, so it's backlogged, and so basically it's a growing number of people incarcerated without, and they have to wait a lot longer for due process of any sort.
And the thing that's especially troubling about when they're housed in facilities like the Northwest Detention Center, which is run by a for-profit prison group, the conditions that these people are living in are horrid. That same center a few years ago had a hunger strike to call attention to how awful they treated the people there.
The hunger strike was really fundamental, and that's been a tool that incarcerated individuals have used throughout last century and this century. But in immigration facilities in particular, hunger strikes have been really powerful tools. And in the case of in Colorado and here in Washington State, one of the things about why something might be considered, poor conditions, they're saying our food that's being offered to us is not up to caloric intake standards. It's not healthful. They're not just complaining that they got red sauce instead of their green sauce. This is not someone complaining that I got 2% milk instead of my whole milk. These are people that are being encouraged, and I'll say that in quotes, to volunteer
to
in the facility.
Yeah.
To serve in both food service and as custodial crew. Which means that Geo Group, the for-profit company that is managing all this, doesn't have to hire as many workers, doesn't have to hire as many people to do it. Now, do the people that are incarcerated have food handlers licenses that are preparing? Do they have the same kind of safety equipment and personal protective equipment when doing custodial work? You know, emptying trash that might have, you know, biohazard fluids in it and things like that? No. And there's many of us that are looking at it for the first time, or looking at this with fresh eyes, or looking at it with invigorated eyes. And I'll say that, Meredith, going with you this week, and I went with a few other people on a few other nights to the noise rallies, was really interesting. It was really buoying. And there's a big cross-section of people that are there. Can you kind of describe, like, who all's there? What's it look like?
I mean, there are all sorts of groups. There have been, let's see, all sorts of religious folks. We saw a bunch of them yesterday, too, but I'm jumping ahead. people of all different ages, races. My backdoor neighbor is a 90-year-old woman and has been going down there every Saturday for years since they started doing these the Saturday protests, well, Solidarity Days at least. But there's, I don't know, there's definitely peaceful people. There are some anarchists there. There are people, there are communists there. The queer community is out, like, huge for this, too. But the important thing is it's all these people working for one thing, the basic human rights of other humans.
I want to draw special attention to the Puyallup tribe because, at least in the Pacific Northwest, every protest or demonstration of solidarity that I've been to regarding immigration or any kind of incarceration facility that includes youth jails or other jails and things like that, there is a big recognition of these are places of limited freedom built on land that was historically of Native people.
Yeah.
And the Puyallup tribe in particular, their land abuts what is now the Tide Flats and Port of Tacoma. It's historically their land, and I'm really glad that throughout all of these different disparate views, there is a respect and recognition and acknowledgement of the Native peoples that have also experienced a violation of their human rights, their freedom of movements, their freedom of thought. And me, you know, being an atheist, I don't believe in their creator. You know, most of their invocations begin with, you know, creator. But I don't believe in their creator, but I can still find common heart and common cause with the things that their people have experienced and the things that our migrants wanting to come to the U.S. have experienced. So I think that's really important to acknowledge. These Saturday solidarity events are something that I've been going to for about 3 years now, occasionally. And it's pretty cool because it's folks that are there long term for the long haul saying, hey, families that are visiting their loved ones, you know, you probably have come on long car rides. It's everyone from locally to folks from Idaho, California, Oregon, because there's just a limited number of detention centers around the United States. And people, while they're waiting for their immigration hearings, are shuffled from one facility to another. And we should say Northwest Detention Center houses only adults. It doesn't house any kids. It's not what we're seeing in terms of kids in cages or kids in secure tent city facilities down in Texas.
Is also atrocious.
It is also abominable. but at the Northwest Detention Center, you have families that are visiting their loved ones. They've driven cars and, you know, long rides, or they've come on the Greyhound or train or something like that. And so we stand with messages of support and solidarity, oftentimes in Spanish, but it's not just Spanish speakers that are jailed, especially on the West Coast. And we come with juice boxes and car ride games and teddy bears and non-perishable snacks and whole fruit and things like that, you know, throughout the year. Because Saturday is that big visiting day. You know, you can visit on one of your weekdays during one of the small window hours. But, you know, who's got time to come down during those times? So it's a neat community that sort of has grown up. And I encourage our listeners to link up or check out NWDC Resistance or Resistencia al NWDC, stands for Northwest Detention Center, because they've been running actions and demonstrations for more than 5 years. And you can check them out on social media. They've got a lot of knowledge and are guiding a lot of the more newly invigorated protesters and demonstrators.
Such as the Occupy folks that are down there. They're really the ones that are kind of leading these 9 p.m. noise vigils. They set up camp outside the detention center for a week before they were told to tear it down. But the idea was, and I think still will be, for Occupy and WDC to actually be able to occupy some land down there like they're doing in Portland and make a statement that this is not okay here.
So, like they're doing in Portland, like they're doing in Dallas, like they're doing in Boston, like they're doing in Chicago, because yesterday, June 30th, was a collective day of action at all sorts of facilities all around the country. And Meredith, you and I, along with Wesley, went in to the Federal Detention Center in SeaTac. How many people do you think were there?
I would estimate 5,000, maybe. It was a lot.
The platforms for the trains were always full at any given time.
And there were so many people, like, you'd look around and you can't, it's just people everywhere. I couldn't see the road, just a sea of people.
So there were a lot of people that were up and organizing and speaking at this particular event. And this is folks that are in the sort of the greater Seattle area, but including South King County, including Tacoma, and things like that. And like you might expect at a big solidarity rally, there were a lot of religious folks there. There've also been a lot of, religious folks that have been on the receiving end of discrimination. And so it's, a little bit uncomfortable as sometimes an atheist or an agnostic or a humanist or someone who's not affiliated with religion to hear things at a rally saying, let us pray, or great creator, or in Jesus' name, in the name of Allah, peace be upon him. That's sometimes difficult. But was it difficult for you, Meredith?
Yeah, it was really difficult for me.
Now, I happen to be wearing a t-shirt that's an atheist on it. I wore that intentionally because I think that it's important for people to know that there's a plurality of people that are in solidarity with human rights and against this administration. And just as I imagine, Kadima, the Reconstructionist Jewish group, were there in their skull caps and their yarmulkes and their prayer shawls, just as the reverends were there in their collars.
Singing some hymns. We sung a hymn, I think.
Yeah. There was one moment, though, that wasn't so uncomfortable that I was really appreciative of. And it was a young woman from AMEN, which I believe stands for American Muslim Empowerment Network. I think that's what the N stands for. And she gave shout outs to the collective beliefs and the unifying beliefs of lots of different religious groups. She was speaking from her perspective of how she interpreted the Quran. Now, I might have beef with her about what I think the Quran says. She says that people who interpret it in a terrible way are abusing scripture. I'm like, I don't know. I read the words and it says some pretty terrible stuff there. But, if you are able to observe your faith in a way that whatever kind of mental gymnastics you need to twist those words around to make it good and to make you do good, I don't have a quarrel with you. You're not the person I have a quarrel with. And I think even at some point, Meredith, you shouted sort of this refrain that Sam has said for a long time on Ask an Atheist.
People are better than our books. We're better than our books.
You can have all sorts of scripture that says, dash your babies against rocks,
yeah,
and, kill the murderer in your midst and kill the foreigner in your midst. Then you can highlight the ones that say, love your neighbor as yourself. That's great. Because at the root of it, you have someone that's coming together for a solidarity rally. They are better than whatever that line of scripture says. But what I really liked about her is that she also gave a shout out to atheist agnostic brethren that were there. She said, look, they're here. And there was a big cheer at that
moment.
There
was. There, yeah.
I mean, I was excited. I shouted, "We're here too!"
She was like going down the list and thinking, you know, the Christians and the Jewish folk and atheists and agnostics and yay.
So we're there too. We're out there as well. And
feminist for humans.
Exactly.
That's going to be my next protest sign.
I've had one occasionally down at the Northwest Detention Center that said the only wall this atheist wants, or the only wall this humanist wants, is one that separates church and state. No more deportations. Because, you know, and you know, maybe people will criticize that's not the right venue for espousing, you know, your particular, you know, advocacy about secularism. But when you have something like Freedom Sunday that is so tied up in patriotism, Christianity, and American identity, how many people of color do you think are at Robert Jeffress's megachurch in Dallas?
Just whatever you need for tokenism.
How many people that are migrants or immigrants that were embraced by that megachurch do you think were there at that Freedom Sunday? And how do you think if by chance that church was offering them some sort of sanctuary from ICE, how many of them do you think felt incredibly embraced and comfortable with this jingoistic, patriotic, red, white, and blue balloons, fireworks that echo the flashbangs of you know, breaking up protests, or of bombs going off and whatever, or gunshots from whatever cartel-infested region you come from? How embraced do you think they feel? So I don't think it's a wrong thing to espouse your secularism and your dedication to secular ideals when you are pushing for a solution to the way we are treating people that are just wanting to come to safety. So for me, I feel very strident about that, if you will. and I think there's a lot to be strident about. Do you have any other thoughts about yesterday, about the protest that we went to up in SeaTac?
I don't know. It was just, it was the weirdest mix of feeling angry and love and frustration but hope. Like, there's hope. There are so many people in this country now who are fighting for this.
I
feel better. Doing things makes me feel better.
It's tough, and I think we're gonna maybe have a little follow up from some of the other Ask an Atheist folks that are down there today at Northwest Detention Center, and being active and being vocal. I want to mention that this week is a week of action for a lot of folks. Yesterday was in SeaTac. Today, Sunday, was down at Northwest Detention Center. Tomorrow, Monday, July 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., there will be a protest at the USCIS, which is the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service, in Tukwila. On Tuesday, July 3rd, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., there will be a protest at the ICE office in Seattle. On Wednesday is meant to be our Independence Day. And man, a lot of us are feeling a little bit down on sort of the patriotic thing. And for secular folks, we don't have the religious holidays. And for me, it's always been 4th of July. That has been one of the days that I love celebrating, because we can celebrate the aspiration to liberty and freedom. There are a lot of us that are feeling a little bit down on that right now, but I do want to mention that Pierce County Atheists are meeting up at 11 a.m. in Lakewood's Fort Stillicum Park, and Kitsap Atheists are doing a barbecue at Pendergast Regional Park. The big event that's held by Freethinkers is an Independence Day potluck picnic from 1 to 5 in Seattle's Ravenna Park. It's co-sponsored by Humanists of Washington and Seattle Atheists. Be there. I'm going to be running a lot of it. The sponsors are providing grillables and drinks, and you bring a side dish. There's going to be face painting, field games, and plenty of opportunity to socialize. And we'll also have some flyers and tabling for how you can get involved in this, because when we are celebrating our country's liberty, we can't forget that we're not celebrating the liberty of all individuals, because there are people who are not free. So on later, after you've finished all of your fireworks, which will not be indoors at a megachurch, on Thursday the 5th from 2 to 4 p.m., there's a Walk a Mile in Our Shoes congressional visits event. I believe that's happening in Olympia. And on Friday, there will be a banner drop towards corporations in Seattle that collaborate with ICE. And on Saturday, on the 7th, from 11:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., there will be a We Stand with Immigrants symposium in Redmond. And if you go to atheist.radio, we have those links all up on our webpage. Again, that's atheist.radio. And it's for ways that you can learn, protest, express solidarity, ask your questions. If you're kind of unsure about a lot of these things, you say, well, what is the difference between asylum and immigration and legal immigration and green cards and visas and refugee and all sorts of things like that? That's a place where you can do some learning and some participation. So I think this is not just one episode of Ask an Atheist. This is not just one segment, because this is not just a one-off week. This is not just a one-off event. There's a lot of things that are hard, but we're getting through them as long as you take your breaths and as long as you take your rests. We'll be back after the break.
Diarrhea
or death. These are the three of the many symptoms that can occur while using Squid Ink. Hi, I'm Jasmine.
I'm Kaya from the Squid Ink Testing Lab, somewhere in Maine,
I guess. While using this ink, you may experience hallucinations,
think you're a goat,
kill your friends and family,
or potentially turn into a squid yourself.
Please do not use Squid Ink. This message was sponsored by someone
somewhere.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist. Still me, Becky, with Josh and Meredith. You know, that same kind of sustained notes, those happen in orchestral pieces too. When you got a big long note, you can't bow for that long. You change your directions, you change your bow stroke, you stagger that. We're staggered right now in, well, the degree to which all of this stuff in our country is happening is staggering, but we stagger our efforts as well in order to sustain that note. Here's one note we don't want to sustain. A candidate for North Carolina's General Assembly had his GOP support yanked last week. Woo! After it came to light that he is an avowed anti-Semitic white supremacist. A website owned by Russell Walker suggests that God is the greatest racist ever. And a white supremacist.
Wow.
That Jews are all descended from Satan, and that Martin Luther King Jr. was out to destroy the Caucasian race through integration, and that no two-story building or waterproof boat was ever made in the entirety of sub-Saharan Africa. Good going there, man. He's suing a local newspaper, which he frequently pickets with racist signs, for refusing to publish his letters to the editor. He used a racial slur when talking about MLK at a press conference last year, decrying the removal of Confederate flags from a South Carolina courtroom, and claims on his website that vaccinations create a favorable climate for autism. Walker won his primary by almost 65% and cannot be removed from the November ballot, where he squares off against an African-American Democratic incumbent. So this guy's a winner.
He sounds like Alec Jones on an extra dose of racism.
Yeah, he's more blatant about it. 65% he won the primary by. That's scary.
I think what this shows is that this is a very democratically rah-rah supportive environment when you have an incumbent. And, you know, it seems like they just weren't paying too close attention to who was the GOP wasn't paying close attention to who was on the ballot in the primaries. Same thing happened in Illinois with the Arthur Jones, who was an avowed neo-Nazi that the GOP pulled support for. It's like, I want to tell them, like, get on your cases there. But I mean, I don't know. They seem to need to be scurrying about covering for Trump's butt.
Yeah, no, there's a running theme with the people that are running for the GOP. I don't think they would, until it actually comes out, they don't care. I mean, honestly, as long as they could be mealy-mouthed about it, they'll support the racist as long as they're not too upfront about it.
Yeah, I'd agree. That seems to be the trend.
You know, you said he sounds like Alex Jones, known conspiracy theorist with an extra dose of racism, right?
Yeah.
It's really remarkable that he's not just a white supremacist that loves apparently his, you know, oh, we said that people are generally better than their books. Here's our little footnote. Here's our asterisk, right? This is the guy that uses the scripture, that uses his read of the scripture to say, look, God's a white supremacist. God created the racist. Because you know what? That's in the scripture. It's the curse of Ham is you did something bad. Also, you're correlated with dark skin. That's in the scripture. It's just that most people, being better than their books, ignore that. They go for the whole love your neighbor thing. And I was a stranger in a strange land. And, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah, and they don't mention, like, the baby killings either or you know, any of the other
or
things.
Or go into this land and kill all the males and take all of their wives. You know, I mean, that's in scripture, too.
Yeah. And the rape, all you have to do is pay 50 pieces of gold or silver.
So there's all sorts of stuff that's in any scripture that's disagreeable to our modern eyes and modern ears, except for apparently some of these guys. What's really weird, back to the Alex Jones thing, is how much this seems to be comorbid with the conspiracy theories about vaccines. This guy's just a whole load of conspiracy theory and terrible use of religion.
And he doesn't believe in Noah's Ark.
Was that a thing? He doesn't believe in Noah's Ark?
Is that what he's saying? Where no. He doesn't know two-story building or waterproof boat was ever made?
No.
No, he was talking about in Africa. Like, he's saying, sub-Saharan Africa does not have the knowledge or know-how to do such a thing.
They can't invent anything great, is what his arguments are.
The Ark was made in Israel, so.
So, according to, you know, modern folks that will watch the History Channel of discovering and digging up old archaeology things that are apparently in the Bible, that would be around Mount Ararat, which is not in sub-Saharan Africa. It's in super-Saharan Africa.
Okay.
In, you know. So yeah, they're saying that people in sub-Saharan Africa have no skills. No one can even build a two-story house there.
That's not...
So,
do you not watch the news or a travel documentary? Like,
you don't have to. You got one book.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not a travel documentary. So, from one guy who thinks that God is a white supremacist, racist, to another guy who thinks that God is just merely stupid. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte is getting pushback from the Catholic Church after he mused in a televised speech that God is stupid and the biblical Adam and Eve story was illogical. Duterte seemingly addressed God, saying that he created something perfect, only to have an event that would tempt and destroy the quality of his work, concluding that a religion with the concept of original sin is one he cannot accept. A presidential spokesman attributed Duterte's remarks to his having been abused by a priest during childhood, saying the outburst merely represented the president's personal beliefs. So, this was actually brought to our attention, thanks to listener Guadalupe from Chihuahua, Mexico. But Guadalupe seemed to comment that they admired Duterte's strength.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean,
Josh, is Duterte an admirable person?
Not in the least bit.
Tell us why.
I mean, broken clock twice. I mean, he's getting some of the things right. I mean, he's calling the Adam and Eve story illogical, and we agree with him on that. But he is a horrible person on top of that.
Yeah.
Regardless of which of being correct on a couple of things.
Well, would you say that he's an atheist? I mean, he says that he's going to reject the Adam and Eve religion, and he says that God is stupid. So I'm sure that there's going to be a whole bunch of people saying, oh, Duterte must be an atheist then.
No, he still claims a belief in God. He just doesn't like religion. He thinks religion is stupid, or is on the record of saying so. But he still has a belief in God and believe in.
He also really kind of... doesn't care for this Ten Commandments stuff. I mean, maybe we should put him up against Roy Moore or any of these other guys that really like to erect Ten Commandments monuments, you know, maybe the Oklahoma, you know, state capitol and things like that. He doesn't favor them, right? You dug up something about that.
Basically, he said, Duterte said, if I listened to the Ten Commandments, I would not be able to do anything as mayor, when he was the mayor of Davos.
So this was before he was president. So what are the things that he was being stopped from doing as mayor that would have been barred by the Ten Commandments? I mean, is it part of your job as mayor to dishonor your mother and father? Maybe that's it.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Well,
is it part of your job as mayor to covet someone else's wife?
He's actually admitted to killing people.
Oh, so it's the whole do not murder thing.
Yes, right. He's actually proud of the fact that he's murdered people under his, as mayor. He claims that he's murdered people.
So maybe at least he's going with the don't bear false witness thing, you know?
Yeah, he's going along with that.
So here's the thing. You can admire the strength of a president that's a president of a mostly Catholic country for saying, I think God is stupid. I don't admire him. He's known for making random outbursts that are just more ridiculous than Trump's. Yeah. And to say that that's strength, I don't think that's strength. I think that's just... I don't know, self-centeredness or go on, Josh.
Duterte's outbursts are the least of the problems with Duterte. Duterte is an absolute authoritarian figure that Trump actually aspires to be. Trump is not that level yet. Duterte actually is this tyrant. He actually has mass murders happening under the auspices of fighting drug dealers.
So no due process there.
No due process whatsoever. And basically you can kill anybody you want just so long as you believe that they're a drug dealer. This is not a good person by any stretch of the imagination.
So not a way that we would advise rejecting God and just replacing it with your own authoritarian power, if you will.
Well, he's not rejecting God. He's just rejecting stories of the Bible.
So people are better than their books. I would say he's not better, and he's rejected any book. So try and find something, Mr. Duterte, to, you know,
find your humanism.
And maybe that might be too tall of an order. That might be too tall of an order for us today. But if you want to get in touch with us at Ask an Atheist, you can tweet us at Ask an Atheist WA. You can find us on Facebook.com/AskAnAtheistWA. You can find us on our website, atheist.radio, where we'll also have links to ways that you can help and organizations that are supporting the protests for our immigration policies. Thank you, Josh, for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chris Coleman and Phil Whitfield for our music today. We'll see you guys next week.